Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Lisa Brownlee to the podcast. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hey, James.
So, Lisa, for those that may not be familiar with you, you have a BS and MS in chemical engineering from the University of South Carolina. You're a master black belt in Lean Six Sigma, and you have certifications in two highly valid assessment instruments, the Workplace Big Five Profile and the Styles of Influence. Over the course of your career, you've been involved in all different aspects of manufacturing, operations, engineering, and so on and so forth, and focus specifically over the last 5 to 10 years on organizational development and leadership. Well, 5 years ago, you founded Leaders Imago, a consulting and training company. What did I miss in that brief introduction that you may want to fill in?
Yeah, I think you've covered it quite well.
Excellent. So, Leaders Imago is focused on leadership development, teamwork, team development, and so on and so forth. How long have you been involved in the organizational development piece?
I would say about 12 or 13 years ago, my employer at the time identified me to be trained in Lean and Six Sigma principles and apply those. And as part of my work with them, we got into not only standardizing work processes within the operations aspect of the manufacturing plant, but we were also looking at how to approach more systematically human resource systems, training systems, equipment reliability, mechanical integrity, these sorts of things. And so in that way, I was tiptoeing, although I didn't realize it at the time, into the OD world, you know, where we are really focusing on organizational capability, aligning our strategies and structures and processes and people, et cetera. So, it's been a journey from being a chemical engineer to becoming an OD type consultant.
Yes, absolutely. You never know where life's going to take you.
No, it's certainly been an exhilarating and interesting journey though.
Absolutely. And I imagine during your time being trained on Lean Six Sigma, implementing some of those changes, as well as a lot of the other OD work, there became a point where you had to start delegating stuff, correct?
Yes. And I have to be honest, delegation has been one of those skills that is personally challenging for me. And so I can certainly relate and empathize with my clients and people that I'm coaching who struggle with the same thing. Delegation is a tough skill for some people to do.
Yeah, I have to agree. There's certain things I'm willing to delegate easily, and there's certain things I do not want to delegate at all, and I want to hold on to very, very tightly.
Yes, yes. We want to do it our way.
Yes, exactly. But how important is delegation in building a good culture, implementing changes, and so on and so forth?
Delegation is really how we get more work done. But it's also how we show respect to our employees and how we can grow the capability of our team members. So it's one of those skills that is a win-win-win for the business, for the person taking on the new responsibility, for the manager. It's a wonder we don't do it more.
Yeah, absolutely. We're multiplying our abilities to get things done. Yeah. So then why don't people or organizations delegate as much as they do?
I think there is a misconception that delegating is going to take more time in the long run. Like my slowing down or stopping to tell you how to do something means that it's just going to take longer because you won't do it as fast as I will, or you won't do it well, and I'm going to end up redoing it or asking you to redo it. But I think if you delegate well, it saves time in the long run. So, and it grows the other person. So I think that gets in the way. Control gets in the way. Power gets in the way. Time gets in the way.
Well, those are all things that, you know, individuals and organizations have to work through to start delegating or improve their delegating. But what can we do on a day-to-day basis to begin improving or implementing delegation? What tips or strategies do you have?
So I've got 5 tips on delegation. The first one is conveying the, and I'm going to use an acronym here, the WIFM, W-I-I-F-M. Convey the WIFM. I'll come back to that. The second tip is around describing the assignment. The third tip is check for understanding. The fourth tip is follow up. And the fifth tip, which usually gets forgotten, is lessons learned.
Excellent. 5 great tips for improving our delegation. So let's dive right into the first one, conveying the WIFM.
The WIFM.
What is a WIFM?
What's a WIFM? So in the training world, WIFM is a very familiar acronym that trainers use to talk about the benefits of a training program for the learners. What's in it for me from the learner's perspective? And I think this is a great first step when a manager plans to delegate a task or a responsibility to someone. Instead of the old, hey, I'm really busy, my plate's full, I need you to do this for me, thanks, you know, just dropping something on someone. Giving some real thought about what benefit does the person receiving the delegated thing gain by taking on what will surely be perceived as extra work. This means managers have to get to know their team members, you know, as employees, as people, you know, what makes them tick? What do they like doing? What do they want to be when they grow up? What motivates them? Are there certain kinds of work that they especially enjoy, or special projects that aren't part of their regular day-to-day job? So I think for a manager, linking a new responsibility to something beneficial in this way can really just hook the person into wanting to take on the responsibility, which usually means a better outcome in the end, right? Versus the begrudging, okay, great, more work, thanks a lot, geez, you know, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And like you said, you have to understand your employee or the person that's going to get that delegated work to what drives them. Some people may look at that extra work as purely that extra work, while others may look at it, here's a new way to expand my skill set. Here's a new way to promote or profile some of the work I can do for future aspirational growth, and a lot of different things. How does the person delegating, how do they get to that motivation piece, or the what's in it for me? Is it just understanding your employees, or is there certain things they can do to better understand that?
I think that it requires some relationship building and conversations. And I do think that as you bring in a new employee, asking them some of those questions, I mean, just straight up having that conversation. Hey, so, you know, what motivates you? What makes you come into work? What do you enjoy doing outside of work? You know, who knows what they're into, but maybe there's a way to link work-related tasks to something that brings them joy outside of work. I just think it requires some conversation and paying attention, watching where someone thrives, where they do perform well.
Yes, absolutely. I remember I was delegated a task once upon a time, and I was coming up with a manual for work management for all the North American plants at the time. And when I looked at it, it was a tremendous amount of work. It was lots of work, lots of research, lots of change management and buy-in and all that stuff. And I really thought, why do I really want to do this? And my manager was talking to me. He's like, well, this is something that's going to be used across all of North America. It'll give you an opportunity to profile some of your work. So that way, when I move on, people don't have to get to know you or your work. It's already out there, and so on and so forth. So he kind of laid into some of those benefits, and pretty soon it became the view of this is an extra work, but this is something I want to do now.
Yes, exactly. So, it changes how you approach that task for sure.
All right. So once we understand the WIFM, next we got to describe the assignment. Yeah. To me, that's very straightforward, but maybe I'm missing something, or maybe that's why delegation doesn't work as well for me.
So describing the assignment, like what is the task or responsibility? Why does it need to be done? When does it need to be completed? Who and what resources are available? You know, all of those specifics. And I think this is needing to be a two-way conversation, not just one way. depending on your level of trust and the other person's level of capability, you might also have a dialogue about how your team member might go about accomplishing the delegated task. So if my trust level is lower, I might say, so given this assignment, tell me your thoughts on how you're going to get started. And I certainly want to set up my team member for success. So making sure that they've got a good start increases the chances of that. For somebody who's rock star, proven their capability in the past, I might just say, what questions do you have? What will you need? How can I help? But I think that sort of captures it in a nutshell.
Yeah. So we want to make sure they understand what they're doing, when the timeline is, what resources may be available, those sorts of things. So we have that clear expectation, but then depending upon their level of performance, if we think of situational leadership, if they're at, D4, where all they need is a little bit of delegation, then fine. But if they're over here in D2, where they still need a lot of support and a lot of direction, then, what we're going to do with them to kick it off and review is going to change dramatically, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. They understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, what's in it for them. The next tip is to check for understanding.
Yes, the all-important check for understanding. I think we've all been there where we've delegated something to someone and we sent that person on their way, assuming they were good to go. And then when the due date comes around, we come to find out that they got stuck or missed a critical piece of the instruction or the expectation, and it's all wrong. So we have this check for understanding. It increases our chance sort of to peek inside the other person's mind to see if they've really got it. And sometimes this can be achieved by asking them to repeat back in their own words what the request was. Sometimes it can be achieved by asking them for their plan and seeing how they might handle particular aspects of an assignment. But this certainly needs to be more than a, so you're good, right? Does this make sense? If you've got, some people are going to respond to that with a yes, this makes sense, when in fact they're not clear. So it could be that you send them on their way after they have confirmed what they're going to do and something pops up later while they're working on it where they get stuck, which is why tip 4 is so important, which is the follow-up.
All right. Cause that was going to be my question. Do we just check for understanding initially, or is that something we need to periodically check in on to make sure that they do have an understanding, everything's going accordingly to plan?
Check for understanding right off the bat, and then subsequently as you follow up. And I think that, as we talk about tip 4, setting some expectation that there are going to be check-in times along the way with the other person, it gives that sense of, okay, I know that my manager is going to be coming back to see how this is going. The point of this is not so that you can micromanage them through the assignment. The point is for you to make sure that they're progressing successfully, that they have what they need, resources, time, whatever, and to give you as the manager more opportunities to give support, encouragement, positive feedback if you see that they're coming along well, or coaching if they're off the mark. So absolutely follow up and check in along the way to continue checking that they're understanding and making solid progress.
All right. So set that expectation up front that there will be check-ins. Do we have to formalize that and say every Friday at noon, we're going to sit down for 30 minutes and review what you've done? Or is it more informal? Or is it a combination of the two?
I think a combination of the two. And it certainly depends on the manager, and it depends on the person who's taking on the delegated task. The level of trust between the two of them, the proven capability in the past, I would factor all of these in. If I'm really concerned, if I'm delegating something new to somebody and they are showing any signs of hesitancy, or I have an internal like, ooh, we'll see how this goes. I'm going to put something on the calendar for us both to check in on a regular basis.
Excellent. So once again, it goes back to understanding your employee, understanding their performance, understanding yourself, yes, and using the combination of those to really develop a follow-up routine that works for everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Now, once we follow it up and that assignment's been completed, we move to tip five, which is lessons learned. What type of lessons are we looking for here?
I recently was told to frame it this way, wells and betters. So did we get the outcome we wanted? What went well? What would we do better next time? So the what went wrong and how would we change that the next time we approach this? And I would be thinking about it in terms of a couple of things. One, the activity itself, the responsibility itself or the project, whatever the delegated thing was, what went well, what would you do better? What did you learn? But I would also be looking at the delegation process itself. So when I delegated this to you, you know, what went well from that standpoint? What can I do better next time to make sure that you're set up for success for the for this particular assignment or any assignment? So twofold.
Excellent. So not only the assignment, but the delegation process itself. We're going to learn from those, you know, what went well, or even better if, to truly understand, you know, what did we do very well that we want to sustain? What could we have done better? How could we have improved communication, whatever the case is?
Exactly. Yep.
Excellent. Now, in addition to these five tips, are there any other thoughts on delegation you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, I said at the beginning that, you know, delegation is not just to get some relief from your to-do list, but it really is to show respect for your team members and help them grow. Growing your team members increases their capability and their value to the organization. And delegation can just, it can be so empowering to team members in that way. I just want to emphasize that again, because our job is to set people up for success and help them bring value. And this is the tool to do that.
Excellent. Empowering the employees, you're giving them some autonomy, you're demonstrating that trust. Delegation is a very powerful tool.
Yes, yes.
Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with delegation?
I think recognizing that we can delegate tasks, but we can also delegate decisions. So when someone comes to you with a question, you can ask, well, what do you think we should do? To challenge the team member to think critically for himself or herself. So recognizing, wow, there's a huge world out there of things that I could actually delegate.
Excellent. Now, if you had a magic wand, what would you change when for a typical delegation process do you see or may have been involved in the past?
If I had a magic wand, I would alleviate that sinking feeling that managers get sometimes that the thing they're about to delegate isn't going to be done to their expectation. I think fear is what I would wave away because it prevents so many managers from delegating at all.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I've been in that boat. Sometimes I hand stuff off and I'm like, I don't think this is going to be done as well. And usually it comes back better than I expected.
Yes, so, yes, yes. Where's our trust?
Exactly. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today on delegation?
So if you're new to delegation or uncomfortable with delegation, I say start with something small. Set your team member up for success by sharing the with them, be clear about describing the assignment, and check for understanding. And again, yeah, start small. And as with all skills, it takes practice.
Yes, absolutely. Start small, slowly grow as you become more comfortable with the delegation, the individual doing the work. But you're not going to get better at it if you don't ever do it. So it does require that practice.
It does indeed.
Well, Lisa, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about delegation. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? What activities or events or where are you at?
Leadersimago.com is my website. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Excellent. Well, I will make sure to put links to all of those as well within the show notes. So if people want to learn more about delegation, team leader development, or anything like that, they can easily get in touch with you.
Yes, that would be great.
One last question before we go. Do you have any resources you want to share with us on delegation?
So there's this book called ZAP with an exclamation point, ZAPP, The Lightning of Empowerment. And it's by a guy named William C. Byam. This book is an oldie but goodie. It's from the 1980s, like 88. It's a fun and easy to read story about empowering teams, and delegation is part of this story, just like it should be part of all of our stories.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to add another book to my Amazon list because I have not read that one either. So thank you for that great resource.
You bet.
And we'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Excellent.
Well, Lisa, once again, thanks for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom on organizational development, delegation, you know, something a lot of us struggle with. I definitely have a few takeaways for myself. So thank you again.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.